I suspect we all here know the story of Cinderella. Countless variations exist across different cultures. The core of the story is a young woman, usually a princess or at least an aristocrat, one way or another is separated from her parents, and then loses her identity as an aristocrat. Eventually, she meets a prince. They fall in love, but she runs away before her lower class status can be discovered, frequently losing a shoe in the process. The prince pursues her, finds her, and her true parentage is revealed. I suspect for most of us, the version that we are most familiar is the Disney animated film. The one with the helpful mice and Bippity-Boppity-Boo. That Disney movie is based on a French version of the story, published by Perrault in 1697. Perrault's version originated the fairy godmother, the pumpkin carriage, and he also added the detail that the shoe was made of glass. But his story was an adaptation of an older story first published in a collection of Italian oral folktales in 1634. The story is an archetype. That Italian oral tradition is not the original, not by far. There's another French version of the story from the 12th century, in which the Cinderella character is named for the ash tree under which she was abandoned outside a convent. There are even more versions of the story found in Latin and Greek from the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd centuries. And this is just confining to European versions of the story. There is also a Chinese version of the story from around the 9th century in which, instead of a fairy godmother, Cinderella's late mother is reincarnated as a fish, and the shoe, instead of glass, is made of gold. All told, there are hundreds of variations on this story, which can be grouped into several families, and I consider our text from 1 Samuel to be one of them. Certainly the gender is changed, and the magical elements are eliminated, as is the wicked family. But the David story is, like the Cinderella story, one fundamentally about an outsider recognizing the worth of a child or young person who had been overlooked by family and society. In the Disney and Perrault versions of Cinderella, the wicked stepmother's motivations are never explicitly stated, but appear to stem from her desire to concentrate the family wealth on her two natural-born daughters. Jesse, David's father, does not seem to have this intent in leaving David out. Jesse does not even know what Samuel has come to do when he gathers the older sons, leaving David, the youngest, to tend the flocks. David is, of course, not the first biblical leader to have been a shepherd. Moses served as a shepherd to his father-in-law, and it was while he was out with the sheep that God appeared in the burning bush. The shepherd-leader motif is one developed extensively in Scripture, ultimately leading to Christ, who proclaims himself the Good Shepherd. God clearly considers the role of shepherd as preparatory for human leadership. For several reasons that are usually explored on the last Sunday before Advent, but in summary, the shepherd is meant to protect the flocks from thieves and predators, as a human leader should protect the people. And importantly, the shepherd does not own the sheep. The sheep belong to someone else, as we, the people, ultimately belong not to our human leaders, but to God. Even further, the shepherd is usually not a valued member of society. Jesse did not know that Samuel had come to choose a new king, to choose a successor to Saul, but he did know that he and his sons were invited to sacrifice with Samuel, the religious leader of the time, that he and his sons were invited to a sacred ritual, and as is so often the case with the shepherds, by the nature of the job, they are left in the fields and excluded, unable to perform the religious rituals, and so were often considered less holy, less pure, less clean, even to the point that they could contaminate others in a ritual sense. And this brings us back to Cinderella. The name Cinderella, of course, comes from the fact that servants of that time frequently had to tend the fires and so would be covered in the ash and the soot. They would be kept out of the nicer parts of the house so that they wouldn't dirty the furniture. In some versions of the Cinderella story, it is explicitly stated that the dirt, grime, and soot have made her ugly, masking her beauty until it is magically revealed by the fairy godmother, or an animal reincarnation of her late mother, or until it is discerned by the king or the prince. In the Cinderella stories, these kings and princes have the benefit of the shoe to help them to recognize her, to help them to see through the ashes. Samuel has no magic item, but he is guided by God, who does not see as mortal sees. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart, and so Samuel is able to see beyond the tall, warrior-looking brothers of David, until finally he sends Jesse to go and fetch the youngest son, the shepherd, the small boy who will come to bring down the mighty Goliath, the boy who will become a king much loved by God despite his many, many faults. And I suspect we will come to those in the coming weeks. But for now, David is the one whose potential has been overlooked and is now recognized, much like the Cinderella stories. David and Cinderella are lifted out of their lower stations by extra human forces, and I think the reason we like these stories so much, the reason so many different cultures have come up with their own versions of it, is because we all like to see ourselves as Cinderella. We have all felt, many of us likely often still feel, unappreciated, undervalued, put upon to do the work while someone else takes the benefit. We all like to dream of the moment that someone will come and recognize us for what we are, will see the value we have, will see the gifts we have to offer, and will elevate us out of the basement, out of the ashes, out of the fields, out of the margins, and into the center. We like to center ourselves in stories. We want to imagine always that we are the hero, and I think we need to stop that. Look to our text from 2 Corinthians. We walk by faith, not by sight. Paul is not centering himself or his audience. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also known to your consciences. Paul is not putting himself or us in the role of David, but in the position of Samuel. Paul's hope and Paul's task for the Corinthians is not that they should be recognized for the value they have, but that they should finally recognize the value held by others. Cinderella's stepmother and stepsisters are the ones invited to the ball. Samuel, Jesse, and David's brothers are the ones invited to sacrifice. Cinderella and David were excluded because they were too busy tending to the unappreciated tasks, stoking the fires, tending the sheep, to participate in the rituals of civic and religious life. Paul and the Corinthians in our different position, they are not kept out. They are in position to boast outwardly. But Paul cautions against those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart, and urges the Corinthians to demonstrate a better way, a way that is not merely the performance of religion, the performance of ritual, a way that is not merely showing up to church on Sunday, but a way that transforms the inner heart of each and every person, a way that serves as a visible model and witness to others, a way that inspires others also to live for Christ. Paul calls the Corinthians to be Samuels so that they may come to regard no one from a human point of view, but to strive to see people as God sees them. Paul declares, anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Paul calls the Corinthians, Paul calls us not to wait for others to recognize our best selves, but to recognize the way others have already been transformed. Paul calls us to see through the lens of the resurrection, to see as God sees, to see the image of God in all people, to recognize that in every person their value is not in their job, their clothes, their car, it is not their house, it is not the things that they can do for us, but is the status that we all share, children of God, heirs of Christ, to a new creation. A new creation that waits only for us to see it. Friends, everything has already become new. We need merely to look. And for that, thanks be to God.